is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that good in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh God, now we thank you. We thank you for the scriptures that have been read, prayers that have been prayed, songs have been sung, and instruments that have been played. Now, oh God, as we come to your word, speak to me and through me, Father, that I will give a word to these leaders, that you would speak to them and encourage them, not only them, but all of us as a whole family of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Oh, how thankful we are that you are our God. We appreciate all that you've done for us. We ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray, amen. Amen. To the triune Godhead, to Reverend Dearborn, to Reverend Slaughter in his absence, Lady of our church, Sister Green, and ministers' wives, to these leaders, to these ministers of music, to this choir, to our deacons and deaconess and sinner, if there may be, we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord again. God has been good to us, and he has brought us all from a mighty long way. In the book of Nehemiah, and if you got to use your index, you go right ahead and use it. That's what it's for. No one in here is a Bible scholar, because as soon as you think you have the Bible figured out, it throws you for a loop. The Bible is not a novel that you read and put it down, because it is a living, breathing thing. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wrought to great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which is built in the fox, if the fox. And he said, go up and shall even break down the stone wall. Then here, watch what Nehemiah says. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon on their own head and give them a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Here we go, y'all. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together into a half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. I want to talk on this thought Are you ready for this? Thank you, Urshas. Are you ready for this? A lot of people jump into leadership, but they're really not ready. Sit back on the pew and say, I can do that. It looks simple. But when you get into it, you will discover it's not as easy as you think it is. That's why a lot of preachers jump into pastoring and they're not ready. Because all they see is what is said on Sunday morning. But they never see what goes on Monday through Saturday. So I want to talk to you this morning, not only leadership, but all of us. Are we really, really ready for this? The story of Nehemiah is an interesting story. The story of Nehemiah begins long before his birth. It actually began in 538 BC. The Persian Empire, under the leadership of Emperor Cyrus, had conquered the Babylonians. And according to Persian principle and protocol, Cyrus issues an edict that after 70 years, they will release 50,000 Jews out of Babylonian exile to go back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel. And watch this, after 70 years, 50,000 Jews were released, and they were now to return unto Jerusalem. But they discovered something, that the Jerusalem they left is not the Jerusalem they're returning to. The city of David and all of its majesty is now lying in ruins. The temple is destroyed. The gates are burned down. But under the leadership of Zerubbabel, they committed themselves to rebuilding God's temple. It took them 20 years, but they rebuilt God's temple. Y'all missed your point, leaders. Watch this. They walked into ruins, but they didn't allow what they saw to stop them from what they were able to do. And one thing you got to learn about leadership, you're not going to always walk into something that's already established. Sometimes you got to build from rubbish. Y'all get what I'm saying? And I'm just not always talking about material rubbish. I'm talking about some folk you're going to have to. Watch this. They saw Jerusalem in ruins, but it did not discourage their commitment to build. 20 years later, they rebuild the temple. And then after that, if you would fast forward another 100 years, you would discover that the Persian Empire still rules the world. But they have a new emperor now. Artaxerxes is the new emperor now. And he was sympathetic towards the Jews. He realized that the temple was built, but the people's spirit has not yet been rekindled towards God. You missed it. Watch this. The temple is built now, but the people's spirit is still not rekindled towards God. What I'm trying to tell you, just because you got a temple, don't mean the people inside is for God. So what did Artaxerxes do? What did he do? He sends the prophet Ezra, sends him back to Israel, and he causes a spiritual revival, and the heart of the people start rekindling towards God. In other words, you can have all the activities in Mount Zion. You can have concerts. You can have women days. You can have this. You can have that. But the only thing going to get the hearts of the people to rekindle towards God is his preached word. Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm saying. The prophet had to come and preach the word. And you are a sad leader if you stay for everything else and walk out on God's word. Watch this, watch this, watch this. 14 years later, after their spiritual restoration through the prophet and preaching of Ezra, the new emperor, Artaxerxes, he hears about the spiritual restoration. But the problem is they have a temple. God's spirit is back in the people. But they had no wall. There was no wall to defend the city from oncoming enemies. But the prophet Nehemiah, he's in a perfect position to bring the materials that the people need to build the wall. The Bible states that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to Artaxerxes. He was the cupbearer. Now, let me tell you what his job was. Watch this. Somebody said, oh, cupbearer, that sounds, but no, you don't want that job. Let me tell you what it is. Before any festivities, he had to drink to make sure there was no poison before anybody else drank. In other words, when Nehemiah would grab a cup, the king, the army, the special guest, everybody would look at him while he drinks to make sure he doesn't drop dead. Now, who wanna apply for that job? Now, watch this. The benefit of the job is this, that you are in close with the emperor. You're close with him. And watch this. One day, Artaxerxes, he sees Nehemiah walking sad. And he asks him, he said, son, what's wrong? He said, I'm thinking about my people back in Jerusalem. They are trying to rebuild, but they have no materials to build a wall. Watch what he does. He says, well, whatever you need, I'm going to write you a letter. And in verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, go to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, and he'll give you all the lumber you need to rebuild the wall. You just miss your praise cue. Sometimes God will put you in the right place to tap in with the right people to go do what you need to do God's work. If you have a desire to do God's work, God will put you in touch with the right people to make sure that you get it done. Now, leaders, let me holler at you for a minute. You can't do it to get your name on the wall. You can't do it to get your name at the papers at the courthouse. You don't do it to put your name on a pew. You do it for the glory of God. And if you're doing it for the glory of God, he's going to put you in the right place with the right people to get the work done. Oh, Lord. Verses 5-8, Nehemiah knew he had a responsibility to go back to his people and help them build the wall. In other words, Nehemiah found the purpose. Leaders, you got to have a purpose for your ministry. Why are you leaders when there's no purpose? Where are you going? Where do you see your ministry by December 2020? And if you're still in the same spot between this time and December, I'm going to have a problem with you. You ought to be grown a little bit by now. You ought to be able to take care of yourself a little bit by now. Oh, let me tell you something, leaders. You ain't going to like this now. Don't always walk around the church with a handout. Learn to work for what you need. Oh, I wish I had somebody that. You have to encourage those that you're leading that whatever we want to do, we can get it done. And it's going to take work. 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 Oh, no, the record not stuck. I just want to make sure you get it. It's going to take work. But let me tell you this. The devil is never going to let you just walk into your purpose. Before I install you, leaders, take this serious. Get ready for war. The devil is not just going to let you walk in your purpose. And can I put this in the gumbo and stir it up for you? Your opposition ain't going to be in the outside of the church. Your opposition going to be right here. You know who your opposition, people who not in your ministry. I'm moving ahead of myself. Let me. He found purpose. But watch this. By finding purpose, in verse 10, Sambalat, the governor of Samaria, and you know the Samaria and the Jews hated each other. They had a long feud because the Jews treated Samaritans as half-breeds. But as I looked at this, Reverend Dearborn, the Bible says that Sambalat was furious. He was grieved in his spirit when he heard what Nehemiah was getting ready to do. But you know, as I looked at this and I saw his furious anger, I began to do some research. And I grabbed commentaries, biblical helps, and I could not find one reason why Sambalat hated Nehemiah this much. I never read where Nehemiah took his woman. I never read where Nehemiah stole from him. I never read where Nehemiah lied to him or stole or took what was. But the only thing I can come to, he hated Nehemiah because of who Nehemiah was. Some people are going to hate you not because what you did to them, just because of who you are. He was mad. But let me tell you something. Y'all listen to me carefully. Let me dissect this text for you. Sambalat was mad. And if you look at his history, him, Tobias, and Gresham remained in Palestine during the period of exile. Hear me good. And when Judah went into Babylonian and Assyrian captivity, watch this. Sambalat, Tobiah, and Gresham stayed in Judah. And while staying in Judah, they took over Judah. And these boys had lived in cultural, political prominence. And as a result to this, they were used to being in charge. But here comes Nehemiah. The people are no longer looking at Sambalat, Tobiah, and Gresham. They are looking and listening to Nehemiah. So what I've come to the conclusion, he was mad at Nehemiah because he brought fresh ideas. You got folk that been in church for 50 years and ain't did a thing since they been in it. And soon as somebody come with a fresh idea and people start getting on board with the fresh idea, they try to get them to put them out of the church. He became a threat to their importance. He became a threat to their significance. He became a threat to their mental weight. And Nehemiah didn't pay him any attention. So let me tell you something. First thing you need to do, if you're really ready for this, you got to know how to handle your critics. Everybody is not going to be happy with what you're doing. But you're not doing it to make everybody happy. You're doing it for the glory of God. Leaders, can I help you? When somebody on the outside of your ministry is trying to walk into your ministry and tell you how to lead it, you tell them this: you be a part of this ministry before you can tell me anything. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. How can somebody who's not a part and don't even support your ministry want to tell you how to lead it? You got to stand firm. Don't be scared. Don't be a coward. Let them know that God placed me here. And if you could have done a better job than me, you would have been here. Well, y'all thought y'all was going to get something good and sweet this morning. I want you to notice this. Watch this. Y'all ready? Watch this. I want you to notice something. When Sanballat, in verse 2 of chapter 4, when he begins to talk about Nehemiah, watch this. Watch this. He spoke to his brothers and to his army, but he never said nothing to Nehemiah. He talked about Nehemiah, but he didn't tell Nehemiah to his face. He just told his brothers and his army, look at them, what they think they doing. He come here with all this wood, but he ain't telling Nehemiah this. Can I help you? Can I holler at y'all a minute? Constructive criticism comes to your face. Destructive criticism comes behind your back. So the word, watch this, leader. This is how I want you to be, because you're going to hear some stuff. When the word got back to Nehemiah, what they said about him, Nehemiah didn't confront him. Nehemiah didn't say, well, look, you don't know who you are. I'm going to tell them. No. When he heard about it, watch this, he went to the Lord. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. He never stopped working. He just went to the Lord. And other in essence, as I paraphrase this, and now, God, you heard this. You heard what they said about me. Now, Lord, I want you to handle this for me. I ain't going to stop working. Let me bring it up in 2020. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop leading. I'm not going to stop coming to church. I'm not going to stop tithing. I'm not going to stop giving my time. I'm not going to stop praising you. I'm not going to stop worshiping you. You heard what they said about me. God, you got that. You handle that, and I'm going to keep doing. You ain't always got to confront everybody that talk about you. Just tell the Lord about it and keep on working. Because let me tell you, if they criticize Jesus, who in the world you think you are? Watch this. Sanballat, he even called them feeble. He called them feeble people. And I did my homework, Reverend Dearborn, on the word feeble. And when you look at the word feeble, it is a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is amalal. Amalal means barren. And so when he calls them feeble, what he is telling them, in essence, that y'all ain't got enough to even impregnate yourself with hope and to deliver something good. Y'all missed it. People will talk about you when they don't even know you. Have you ever had somebody that hates you and you don't even know them? Never had a conversation with them, never text with them, never talk with them, but every time they do, you look at them, they give you a brush shoulder. But here's the text, here's your praise cue. I don't care how they look at your leaders. I don't care what they whispering in little sidebar meetings about. You stay on the wall and you keep working. I wish I had somebody to testify. And I done made up in my mind, God's been too good to me. He's brought me through too many unseen dangers to give up on what people think about me. Nehemiah said, you can say what you want to say, but I got the wood. And I'm still hammering the wall. Watch this. Now, it's going to help you. Watch this now. You got to learn how to critique your critics. You got to learn to just ignore them. But then in verses 6 through 9, watch this. I'll go to verse 9. I want to show you something. Nevertheless, we got it? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set watch against them day and night because of them. Now, you got to understand the balance between faithfulness and readiness. Watch this. They prayed about it, but they kept their eyes on it. You know why so many of us fall in the traps? We pray about it, but we don't keep our eyes on it. If somebody is trying to pull you down, pray about it, but you watch that Negro every move he make. If he's whispering to somebody or she's whispering to somebody in your ministry, come call that person. Well, what y'all was talking about? Y'all need to take this serious. Because they begin to watch them. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. I'm spiritual enough to pray, but I'm smart enough to protect. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they saw or observed with precaution. Let me tell you this. You might want to put this on your Facebook page. Prayer without preparation is presumption, and it will become a problem. You got to prepare for what's going to come against you. Don't you ever think that everything is going to work out to your favor. Things are going to come against you. But watch this. I'm just about through. I know y'all are itching and uneasy, but I don't care. You have to be ready, and you have to keep your eyes open. Leaders, listen to me. If members of your ministry, if they are not productive, they need to be replaced. Leaders, I'm telling you, behind this sacred desk, if you're not productive, you will be replaced. I don't need no vote. I don't need no church vote. I don't need no deacon vote. I don't need no trustee vote. If I see you're not productive, it's time for you to move on. Because guess what? Who God's going to charge? He's going to charge me, and I ain't going to hell for nobody. You have to be productive. You have to be productive. Don't be just getting the title just to go around and saying that I'm the leader of this and I'm the leader of that. So Nehemiah stayed on the wall, and here it is. We're going home. They had a mind to work. Now, here it is, all you different ministries, all you different leaders, they had one common goal, to reach that goal. None of you will ever be productive if each one of you got your own thing going on. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If the pastor stands and he says, and I say, that we're going to use